Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Can't wait to hear what this guy's got to say about all the things the Giants have done here in the last few days. And that, of course, is the great Paul Tatino. Paul, how are you?
Guys, great to talk to you. A couple things, Joe. First off, don't talk about your next phase of life. We have too much fun on these spots. I can't imagine you not being on the other side.
All right.
That's
well,
number one.
Okay.
Number two, on behalf of all the mid-major college basketball conferences in the country, thank you so much for being so nice to the NEC and Fairleigh Dickinson coach Greg Herrenda. He's a hell of a guy,
Yep. Hell
of a program, and they pulled off a tremendous championship win the other night to go to the NCAAs, and you guys treated him real well.
Well, when he comes, we're going to have him on again next week before their first-round game.
And hopefully it's a true.
And hope it's not a play-in game, you know?
Hopefully they don't have to do
that. Yeah, for their sake, although, quite frankly, if they wind up going to Dayton for the play-in game, they certainly would have a much better chance of winning since they would be getting a reasonable matchup as opposed
That's
to you
true.
Get that 116, which is usually instant elimination.
Yeah. All changed last year. We finally got the upset
that
we've been waiting so long
for.
That
is true. That is true.
What was your shock level? Let's start there. How shocked were you when you heard that the Giants were actually pulling the trigger on this?
Probably about a 6 out of 10 because, you know, guys, I'll make it simple for you because I know you'll ask me about, you know, not only the logic behind it but also the emotions behind it. I'm trying to wrestle with this from three perspectives. As a football guy, I absolutely love watching premier players play. And this goes back to my days as a little kid when my uncle, by the way, Joe, had Jet season tickets at Shea Stadium. And I got to watch Joe Namath, the Don Maynard. And that was a pleasure to watch as somebody who was so addicted to football ever since I came out of the womb. When you get to see elite players perform at such a high level, it's like these people who go to the ballet and talk about Baryshnikov. And so as a football person, to be able to watch Maynard, Tarkenton, Namath, LT, and all these great players over the years, when you see those guys on a week-in, week-out basis, you feel honored and privileged that you got a chance to watch them. And you can't stand that they have either gone by free agency to another team or have been traded away. Because it's like, I feel ripped off. I'm not going to get to see this elite talent on a weekly basis. So as a football guy, that's how I feel in that venue. Then I look at it, the logic side of it. And I say, okay, logic-wise, they take a $16 million dead cap hit. That is incredibly vicious. And boy, don't you have to absolutely get the huge Fort Knox haul to trade a guy of that talent and to take that kind of costly, painful backlash hit on your cap? Don't you have to get, you know, something equivalent to something like 3 number one picks to do it? So on the logic side, I feel like, man, they didn't get enough for this worldly player. And then I look at the third side, which is the front office business side of it. And you say, okay, let's see. You didn't win with him. Well, if you don't win without him, what's the difference? What's the state of the Giants team right now? Are they really close to winning the championship? Doesn't look like it. He's taken up a huge amount of money. Off the field, there have been distractions. There have been injuries the last 2 years. I mean, how often has this guy finished a full 16-game season? He got to his only playoff game in Green Bay, did not play well, and kind of wilted. And so then you say, okay, front office-wise, I get it. I see the logic in making a move, getting a number one pick. Pepper's a former number one, so in effect, that's kind of like getting two number one picks, plus a third rounder, plus they got to swap back the fourth from the fifth that they traded away in the Vernon deal. So then you say to yourself, well, his value around the league was probably decreased some. They got more than the Raiders got for Cooper.
Yep.
They got more than the Steelers got for Brown. And was there a chance that he would have continued to fester here over time? And if they tried to get rid of him at a future date, They may not have even been able to get what they got this week. So I'm looking at this from three separate angles and trying to digest it. And I'm not sure which one is really the right angle to look at, because they're all very confusing and smashing into each other like roller derby.
It's a really good answer you gave, Paul, because it feels like over the last 24 hours, most of the reactions to this have been extreme, to the extreme of the Giants are complete morons. What the hell are they doing? To the extreme of Odell had to go. He's a horrible human being. He's the reason they don't win games. And so I think that's a very measured response, because it's all compelling. It's difficult when you make a decision like this to know what's the right answer. I think a lot of it's going to be determined, okay, what does Dave Gettleman do with the picks he just got back?
And Evan, you couldn't be more right, and that's the problem. You see, As fans, everybody wants the knee-jerk reaction. They want to go with their emotions and immediately flame out to one side or another. And I understand that. And obviously, you know, the conversation at the water cooler is going to be that way. Ultimately, though, if you want to be smart and intelligent about it, you have to peel back the layers of the onion. I always say this all the time. Peel back the layers of the onion, and you have to understand that the truth is, there won't actually be a winner or a loser in any trade of this magnitude until time has a chance to play out its course and you find out what some of the results are down the line. I mean, fellas, I remember when the Giants traded Fran Tarkenton after the 1971 season, okay? They traded him to Minnesota because he was having a lot of trouble and disputes with management. There was agitation, aggravation. He wanted out. He was sick of the losing. He wanted more money. The Giants shipped him to Minnesota in a package that included Norm Snead. They got him back in the deal.
Yep.
But more importantly, they got back a second-round pick, which they used to get Brad Van Pelt, who went to five straight Pro Bowls and is one of the great Giants linebackers and defenders in team history. You know, at the time, the day they traded Tarkenton, you think I was happy? Trust me, I wasn't. But in retrospect, did they probably do better? Yeah, Brad Van Pelt gave the Giants a lot of great years.
Talking to Paul Dottino. All right, so what happens now? I'm more interested now. We know what happened. Odell's gone. What happens now, especially with Eli? I mean, to me, they look like a team that's in rebuild now. I mean, are they going to give Eli his $5 million bonus on Sunday?
Yeah, you know, Joe, I have to tell you, and I'm not afraid to tell you this because I'm always straight with you guys. I don't beat around the bush. Right now, I'm a little shaky. My knees are like, I'm not exactly sure what they're going to do. Nothing is going to surprise me right now, because the only thing that I'm sure of is that Dave Gettleman's an old school guy who's very assertive. He's very, very committed to whatever it is that he has decided he's going to do. He's a hard worker. He's thorough. He knows football. You know, he's been involved in front offices with teams that have gone to 7 Super Bowls and won 3, so he knows what he's doing. And only he knows what he's doing. So I'm right now, after what's happened in the last month, I'm really gun shy about trying to get into his head, because he's done some things that have been very bold, and I wasn't so sure that he'd be pulling the trigger on all of these things. I still think it makes the most sense, logically, to make Eli your bridge quarterback for at least the 2019 season. So my hunch is that still is status quo, and my assumptions for the last year and a half remain true. But I can't tell you that I'm on steady ground with that right now, because I think Dave Gettleman has proven in the last month he can be very unpredictable.
If he caught Eli Manning, doesn't give him the roster bonus, and it's well said, I think a lot of things that have happened have been very surprising. The Landon Collins thing, obviously the Beckham trade, the Vernon trade not really as big of a surprise, even though it's now technically one trade. If they caught Eli Manning, though, do you think he'd be a starting quarterback for an NFL team next year?
Well, I mean, for example, let's just pick a team out of a division you guys know well, being Jets fans. You don't think the Miami Dolphins would love to have him at about half a second?
And that's the only team.
I think that's the team. I don't know if
Where
there's
else
anybody else.
Is there any other team?
I'm of the belief, based on watching this guy, I think he's in the middle 10 of the NFL. I think he's somewhere between 15 to 17.
Okay. All right.
If you had to rank quarterbacks in the league.
All right. I think that that's fair. I think you're
okay.
Right. Okay.
I don't think he's a top 10 guy anymore. He's not elite anymore.
No. Right.
But he's not in the bottom 10, or quite frankly, as many of the newspapers want to make you believe, he's in the bottom
but
3
you know
in
what,
the league.
Paul? But there's not, outside of Miami, there's not a lot of teams with openings for quarterbacks right now. Where is he going? He's not going to Jacksonville now.
Well, but you know what, Joe? That's a totally separate question, because that's not evaluating his talent.
No, that's just saying what is the situation. Paul,
right.
That's why I understand that. And honestly, and I should clarify, that's why I asked it. It wasn't Eli stinks, he couldn't start on a team. It's the timing of it is not ideal, because I don't know what Jacksonville would have done, but obviously they're not going to go after him now. They signed Nick Foles. So if Gettleman made that decision today or tomorrow, it's not just about his talent. It's about poor Eli Manning, and I mean that seriously, I don't know if he'd be a starter in this league. I think Miami, Paul, is the only
team that I can really
think of. I don't think he starts anywhere else, and that's a shame for Eli Manning.
Well, that's the quickest answer that I can come up with, because as I've told you before, I'm of the opinion that he's not going anywhere, so I haven't spent too much time thinking about it. But I certainly think that would be a team. I certainly think, to be frank with you, if you really wanted to push it further, I would start him over Josh Rosen in Arizona, but everybody seems to think the Cardinals are going to take Murray.
That's what it looks
like.
Yeah.
You know? So, but that would be another team that I certainly think he could start for in a heartbeat.
All right, well, you bring up Josh Rosen, so I'm going to go right there. Now, so if you're the Giants now, okay, let's say that they do let Eli go. Would you make a trade to get Josh Rosen and then keep these two picks? So instead of having to trade up or something to get a quarterback, and you keep 6 and 17 to draft defensive players?
Well, I will say this, Joe. I do think there is football logic, okay? The Giants, as I've told you, I thought all along that Dave Gettleman would try to get a third-round pick. I've said that to you on your show before. I could not see him going into this draft.
Manning?
Well, no.
No, adding pick for a quarterback, you mean?
No. I've said all along, because he gave away the third rounder this year
to
draft Sam Beal in last year's supplemental.
I see. Okay.
I had said all along to you guys since then, I know he's going to try to get a third round pick back, because he's either going to want to use it to pick a player that he can use, because the draft is deep into the third round, especially on defense, or he would like to be able to use it as trade collateral. I could not see him going into this draft without a third-round pick. Now, because of the deal with Zeitler and Vernon, he has acquired the Browns' third-round pick. So that's good.
Right.
He's now got a third-round pick, which he can use in some fashion.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
You're asking me about Rosen. If the story is true around the NFL that Rosen can be had for a third-rounder because he lost a lot of luster in his rookie season, he played behind a very poor offensive line, we know that, and he's had shoulder and concussion issues when he was at UCLA. If he has been devalued by most people from a first to a third-rounder, and you could get him for that third-round pick, I could see the logic in Dave Gettleman taking that gamble and saying, okay, Arizona, here's a third-round pick for Rosen. We'll bring him in. We'll try to clean him up and polish him up as he sits behind Eli for 2019. And at least we know then, going into 20, we've got somebody we can turn to of youth.
Yeah, but you know what?
I could absolutely see that.
But see, I don't see that. And I know Evan agrees with this. If I'm making the deal for Rosen, he's the quarterback.
I got to play him.
I mean, if you're going to draft a quarterback, and I throw the first year out, forget the first year, you know this. First-year quarterback, especially on a bad team.
They fired the offensive coordinator in the middle of the year.
Right, and the coach
lasted. It was a mess.
The coach lasted 1 year, and they dumped him. I mean, you know, you can't put any stock in what happened with Rosen. But if I'm making that move, Rosen to me is a quarterback. If you want Eli to tutor a guy, then go draft Dwayne Haskins.
Well, see, now, I think because Rosen is still so young, you mentioned he's just come off of his rookie season, and by most accounts, because of all the circumstances surrounding him, and maybe even himself, he had such a rough rookie season that he needs to be cleaned up. He needs to be polished up.
Yeah, okay.
I would think, for me, and you're entitled to disagree, this is an opinion thing, there's no right or wrong
of
here.
Of course.
I would prefer to have him be mentored by Eli for a year, much like, you know, when Alex Smith mentored Mahomes. I would like to look at Rosen, and in that deal, if that were to happen, I would look at him and say, this guy needs a fresh start. Let's just take the turpentine and wipe all that paint off his rookie season, because it was a mess. Let's get him down to the bare wood and let him sit behind Eli, go back to the Alex Smith Mahomes model in Kansas City, which is what Gettleman has said. Yep. He would like to follow that model if he could.
Now, Mahomes didn't play for a year, though, before he...
And it was a good team. Right, it was a playoff team.
Right, right.
Well, that's correct. The difference is Rosen played for a year and probably did more damage to his career than good.
Yeah.
So I would say get the turpentine out and wash him down, clean him out. Mm-hmm. And who better to learn from if you're going to try to get out of rookie habits that had proved detrimental than to sit and soak up stuff from Eli Manning? That would be my attack. If you were to go that way and make the acquisition of a third-round pick for Rosen, which, by the way, part of the reason I say that is if you're trading a third-rounder, you can afford to do that.
Yes.
If you're giving him a first-rounder,
don't you
have to start him right away?
Yeah. No, they're not going to give him a first-round.
I wouldn't give up a first.
No.
And I don't know if the Cardinals can get a second or a first. They may have to settle for a third-round pick. So I think it is realistic.
Yeah, and even if it's a two, it does make it, because of the expense and the price, it does make it certainly more logical that you'd want to start him right away. But if you're going to get him for a three, there's no harm in having him sit for a year because he still has multiple years left on his rookie contract.
Yeah. You know why I would start him, Paul? Because let's say you start him and you evaluate him in a year and you say, this guy's not the answer.
You could still draft a quarterback the next year.
Next year you could say, all right, hey, we had a terrible year. Yep. I don't know where the Giants are going to finish. Who knows? Right. The offseason isn't over. Have a 3-13 year. Hey, we got a top 5 pick. And then you could draft a quarterback. I think it'd be tougher to do it if he's not playing, to evaluate
him. And you know what? I think that makes sense, Evan. I don't dispute that. I think it's like apples and oranges. It's like, which side do you want to be on? I don't think there's a right or wrong. I could see benefit in going your way. Certainly, obviously, if the guy doesn't work out very well and you play him and it doesn't work out, well, then you can make that move in 2020. And I see how that would work out favorably. I also, again, I tend to think that to have a guy just, hey, sit down, shut up, watch the films, and don't do a damn thing because we're not relying on you. There's no pressure. Just sit back and listen to Eli for a year, okay? Don't panic. I think you could argue that there's benefit there, too.
Mm. We're talking to Paul DeTino. Go ahead, Joseph.
I was just going to say, what do you put the odds on that Eli is on this team after Sunday?
I'm still in favor, maybe from what was 100%, maybe now it's 90 and wavering a little. I mean,
would they
again,
restructure? How about restructuring, Paul? How about them restructuring the deal with Eli?
I've always said that I believe that there would be some type of number redo. I've always thought that. I mean, whether it's converting money into bonus money or incentive money, or even, as I said to you guys also a year and a half ago, even giving them the one-year extension, if for no other reason, to work on the salary cap. And if you have to take a little dead money the following year, even if he doesn't come back, that still makes things a little more palatable. Remember, guys, anytime you make a monumental decision with your roster in the National Football League, it can't be made in a bubble. It's a spider web. There is a domino effect on every decision you make, whether it's financial, whether it has to do with your depth chart, whether it has to do with the actual talent that you have on your roster. It's never a clean-cut decision when it's a decision of this ilk. Little decisions, you know, guys who were 51st on the roster, those can be made in a bubble because there's not a whole lot of stuff necessarily involved in it. But if you're talking about a big-time player on your team, there are a lot of different strands to that spider web.
Well, and that works my way back to Odell Beckham on this. Obviously, less than a year ago, Dave Gettleman gave him a monster contract. In your opinion, was this more of a football decision? Hey, we didn't have a lot of success. Let's get draft picks. Like you said, we haven't won with him. We may not win without him. Or do you think this was a distraction trade, that they were just tired of Odell Beckham Jr.?
I believe it's more of the latter, Evan. I think that, you know, in terms of football talent, there's no way that you can argue to me that they have more football talent on the field with Odell Beckham being traded. You'd be a fool to think otherwise. But when you look at the other angles, as I described to you at the beginning of this phone call, you have to say, well, front office-wise, the third angle of the prism that I described, you say, okay, I see logic there. I see how that makes sense. I really believe that is the only way that the trade really makes sense. If you look at it from that front office business side of the prism. And you know what? That's the side of the prism the general manager has to operate in.
Mm. Paul, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Paul.
Great to talk to you, fellas, and I appreciate the time to go through this. As you can imagine, Twitter is blowing up like a volcanic eruption, and a lot of people don't seem to want to peel back the layers of the onion. It's okay to have mixed feelings on something like this.
I'm glad you said that, because one thing that has driven me nuts in the last 24 hours is the extreme views on this from both sides. It is like you can't be mixed. You can't look at both sides. Either Odell is the worst human ever, thank God they got rid of him, or the Giants are just morons. There seems to be no middle ground, so I think it's good to hear the different mixed emotions you have as a Giant historian.
I appreciate it, fellas. You have a wonderful day.
Thank
you,
Paul.
See you, Paul.
Paul DeTino.
Yes, indeed.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.